Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, at least once a year, we have to have this conversation because at least once a year, everybody thinks bonds have no place. Interest rates are too low and bonds should not be part of the portfolio anymore.
Breaking news, 10-year U.S. government bond now over 1.1%. Woohoo!
Yep.
Let's load up.
Anyway.
Let's everybody buy bonds, according to some theories out there, because it's the best place to be. And then you're hearing a lot saying, no, stay away from bonds. Mm-hmm. It's a low interest rate right now. And really, interest rates, the only way they can go up is up now. So why even bother? Like, why take that risk and when you can go elsewhere?
Yeah, and listen, we often talk about the complexity of the bond market. Most people aren't familiar with it. But it's gigantic, it's complex, there's lots of places to go, and it's a global marketplace. And so Chuck Tomes is joining us today. He's a director and associate portfolio manager. He's live out of Boston with us today, and he's with Manulife Investment Management, and he's been a regular recurring guest on our show, although we haven't talked in a while. Chuck, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure to be back with you guys.
Well, my man, you're going to have to, you got a big job because we got to make some sense of this. You know, you heard our setup there. There's lots of questions that regular investors have about bonds and the interest rate environment. So why don't I just start with a big open-ended question for you and give you a chance to set up. What do we expect in 2021 here?
Yeah, it's definitely a different year. I do think that people do need to realize that certain bonds, not every bond is made the same, but certain bonds do have more risk associated with them than they've historically had, specifically interest rate risk. When you look at kind of yields around the world as where they stand today, they are so low, as you guys said. Do we think they're going to go higher? Yes, we do believe that the longer end, the 10-year or the 30-year part of the curve could grind higher. The short end should stay the same, though, as central banks are going to effectively be on hold for the foreseeable future until you start to see the economy really start to turn the corner and be on much stronger footing. But with that view, you do need to be selective and understand that with a move, we don't see rates, 10-year yields going up to 4%. But even with the move from, you know, 10-year Canadian government bonds at 85 basis points, as you said, 10-year U.S. yields at a little over 1%, a move to 1.5 or 1.75, that can have pretty substantial impacts on those bonds from a price perspective. But that doesn't mean there aren't other opportunities elsewhere in the globe that you can still provide a good return profile with minimal volatility.
Okay, so let's address the question. Interest rates are all-time lows. I got to get out of bonds. What do you say to that?
I'd say that where are you going to go? Because if you do get outside of bonds holistically, then you're probably going into certain investments that you take on significantly more risk. Yeah. And when you look at that, that opens up a bigger opportunity to the downside. People need to remember that bonds do play a role in an overall asset allocation, and it's usually to provide a volatility dampener during times of volatility. Now, as I mentioned, there are some risks associated with a grind higher in yields that you could see, but you still want to have that piece of your overall asset allocation that you can rely on, because as we know, things don't move in one direction and you need to have some of those volatility dampeners. Now, the one thing that I would say is you just need to be a little bit more selective and maybe look at other opportunities that can still provide that volatility dampening effect with less risk of a rate move higher that would produce that negative return. So a strategy that can still produce a strong return, even if you do see that move higher in rates, but can still act as that volatility dampener, provide that offset to the so-called equity side of the allocation in times of volatility.
Chuck, we're seeing a bit of a home-based bias with many portfolios out there that I'm looking at. People are asking me for a second opinion. When they do have fixed income or bonds, it really comes into two categories. One, fixed income as guaranteed investment certificates or GICs. I know in mm-hmm. Boston you guys call them CDs. Or they're buying Canadian bonds. The advisor community really doesn't have too much choice outside of the Canadian or U.S. market to really do a lot for building your own bond portfolio. We have said we've worked with you and your team for over a decade now on building a global bond portfolio. why go global versus just staying in North America? Where's the opportunity? And maybe even talk about how you pick these bonds, because I think we're getting away from the key aspect of why we invest in bonds when we have a home-based bias.
Yeah, and when you're looking at it, that's a very narrow view when you're looking at just the ability to invest in one marketplace. I feel extremely fortunate with the strategy that we work on. We're allowed to look at opportunities everywhere in the globe. And we also feel very fortunate that within Manulife Investment Management, we do have offices around the globe. And even on our team, the way it is set up is that we have senior members of the team located around the world as well. So there will always be a senior set of eyes watching the portfolio 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. But also the reason for the global footprint for our team is that we can always be in the know of any opportunities elsewhere in the globe that do provide a very strong risk-adjusted return profile. So you look at an opportunity like you could see in Indonesia. As we look at how we view the world playing out over the next 12 months, we feel there will be some significant opportunities to increase our allocation outside of North America. You look at Indonesia, for example, it's an investment grade rated country. You have GDP growth that should be back over 5%, so strong return profile out of the underlying economic fundamentals. And you can get over 6% yield on those securities, plus the potential, when we look at kind of our view of the currency markets overall, the potential where a lot of EM currencies have not seen the strength that you've seen in a lot of the developed market currencies. And Indonesia is one that we feel, as you move forward throughout this year, you could see a strengthening of the Indonesian rupiah relative to the Canadian dollar. So the total return profile with the over 6% yield plus some currency returns really becomes an attractive opportunity going throughout this year.
So, Dave, do you see what he basically came out and just said, that there's more ways of making money in the bond market than just the interest that you receive off the bond?
Absolutely.
And I think that's what people focus on only, is the interest rate. There's currency, there's price change, there's different geographical locations, there's corporate, there's government.
Credit
there's
risks,
It's a whole big gambit of opportunity out there, and that's why we play in that space. Even though the rates of return may not be as high as what we've seen in the stock market, let's say for us in 2020. Chuck, there's one question that we want to kind of look at is, you guys, what I love about working with you guys is that you kind of give us the idea of what's happening in the world, economically speaking, and what's probably going to happen in the stock market, because I believe the bond market is a nice leading indicator for that. What do you see for about, we've got about a minute left, what do you see happening in the bond market that can give us an idea of what's happening in the economy or in the stock market?
Yeah, you look at just how yields have gone. Now, the short end has stayed flat. You think about where 10-year yields were in September. 10-year U.S. Treasuries, roughly around 50 basis points, late August, early September. And as you've seen a move upwards, as you mentioned, in yields. And that's coming with inflation expectations increasing, which to us tells us that the expectations of growth, as we do see vaccinations continue to roll out and economies start to reopen as we move forward throughout this year, it just to us sets up an environment that you should see economic growth continuing to recover. And I think the bond market is showing that, as you've seen some of the leading indicators or expectations of the indicators starting to shift in that direction.
Yeah, that's interesting. And can you speak just very quickly about, again, the size and scope of the bond market's huge. You've got government bonds. You also have corporate credits. A little bit about if the economy's recovering and businesses are doing better, what does that mean for corporate credits versus governments?
Yeah, it's definitely a positive for corporate credits, because you could see some continued spread compression where they continue to do well. That helps offset some of the interest rate risk sensitivity. The one thing I would say is, when we look at it, you just need to be selective, because as you continue to see the recovery, it opens up some opportunities for some specific corporations that haven't seen the benefit in terms of their price, because the type of economy we're in right now isn't really conducive. They need to see more of a reopening. So those are the ones that you could see further appreciation and somewhat of a catch up to some of the companies that have continued to do well. So we do believe that embracing corporate credit going forward in a selective basis makes a lot of sense to us.
Chuck, last thing, you have a highly diversified portfolio globally. Not going to hold you to this, but if everything rolls out as expected, kind of give us a sense of what the forecasted returns could be in a bond portfolio.
Yes. So for us, where we are able to go in, we're just focused on one marketplace. But for us, we feel extremely confident and comfortable saying that over the next 12 months, we should be able to return 3.5% to 5.5% return net of fees in this low yield environment. So we feel it's a very attractive environment for somebody like us that can go anywhere. And it really gives us the opportunity to be able to show that we can traverse in the very different markets around the world and still provide that consistent return profile that people are looking for in a fixed income strategy.
Thanks, Chuck. We got a roll. That's Chuck Tomes, Director and Associate Portfolio Manager. Talking to him live out of Boston. He's with Manulife Investment Management. And 3 to 5% sounds a lot better than nothing.
Absolutely.
Right? Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Cheers. Okay, we got to make sense of this right in our income bucket and how to position to protect people's income, and bonds play a role in that. Let's talk about that at our upcoming seminar.
Bonds do play a role, and how does that fit in the overall strategy when you're investing in the markets? We're going to talk about that on Tuesday, February 23rd, 7 p.m., live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Our government's poised to raise taxes. Stick around after the break, and we'll answer that question. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.